I'm Cora Pinkwah, and I've lived in Melbourne Port all my life. I was born in Kingsbury Yard, in the cottages that are now the laundry offices, and I lived there until we moved up here in 50-something, I can't remember the exact year. I went to school in the church school in Melbourne Port. I met my husband while I was still at school, and we got married at Wincanton when I was 17.
Okay, I'm going to take you back now. Tell me about your family, about your parents, and about the work that they did, and about your siblings.
My dad was a groom at Patches, in which is now the Christian house home up in Gainsborough Road. My mum worked in service, at Thomas Dyke's, which was Senior Thomas Dyke, not the one that I can remember. Right. And they lived in a house which was called Cheriton, which is no longer there.
Where was that then?
That was in Gainsborough Road, and there are now houses there.
Right.
As you come up Gainsborough Road, the houses, not the ones where you go in round to Plover Road and things, they're actually on Gainsborough Road. Yeah. The houses that have got a little gate in a back entrance. Mm-hmm. And there was a little shop there.
I think I've seen photos of the shop.
Yeah.
What was your maiden name?
Mitchell.
Right. And was that were your parents from Melbourne Port themselves?
My mum, yes. Right. My dad, I think, came from Pulham, which is a small village on the way to Dorchester.
Right. And what was your mother's maiden name?
My mother's maiden name was Chant.
Right.
She was Chant, Olive Chant.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had three brothers and three sisters.
Wow, that's a big family as well.
Yeah.
But again, you probably thought nothing of it at the time.
No, and that's why it could cope, I think.
Yes.
A large family.
Yes.
Because it was quite just natural.
And would you describe your childhood as a happy childhood?
Yeah, yes, sure I would. Yeah, we were pretty contented in our day because we went down the river fishing for minnows.
Yeah, yes.
And I mean, times were different, so we could go off walking wherever. We'd go out around Goathill, out around Melbourne Wick, wherever, and with friends, picking primroses and violets when they were out.
Yes.
And,
yeah, so typical village childhood.
Yeah,
then,
yeah, that's really right. Yeah, so different. You know, children don't do those things anymore.
Yeah.
It's a shame, really.
Yes, I mean, I remember doing those things, and I'm 54.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, my boys did.
Used to go for hours and hours, and then my mother would have no idea when.
No, they used to go off with a bottle of squash and some jam sandwiches, and quite happy.
And where did you fit in the family?
I was the sixth. I had a brother younger than me. The rest, my mum had 5 children, and then she went 10 years and had me.
Ah, well, that's a big age gap, isn't it? Right.
The others were like sort of two and a half years apart.
Right.
Then she went 10 years and had me.
Wow.
And then 2.5 years and had my younger brother.
Right.
But of the 7, I'm the only one left.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, right. Well, that's sad.
Yeah. It was a strange feeling to start with when my last sister died.
Mm.
Oh dear. But it just went, obviously, you know, it's happened, someone's got to be last, so
yes.
It happened to be me.
Yes. You have a large family now, though, don't you? Also, you've got grandchildren.
Oh, I've got great grandchildren.
And do you have other relatives in the village as well?
Yeah. Oh. Nieces and nephews.
Right.
And,
yes.
Okay. Goes on and on.
Yes. So tell me about your experience of going to the church school.
Well, I didn't like school from the day one. I really did not like school.
Why, and why do you think that was?
I don't know.
Were the teachers unkind to you?
No, not. No different than, I mean, school was stricter than it is now. But no one's ever. I just didn't like having to be doing things perhaps I didn't want to do.
Maybe the restrictions of it when you had a very sort of free time coming and going as you pleased around the village.
I did not like school at all.
Do you have do you remember particular friends that you had at school?
Oh yes, and quite a few of them not with us anymore. Yeah, they and some left the village, which I don't know where they are now.
Right.
They could still be here, but some of the ones that stayed around then, several of them are gone.
What about teachers? Do you remember any teachers in particular?
Well, the headmaster was Mr. Bradfield.
Right.
And his wife taught at the school, Mrs. Bradfield. I remember her very clearly.
Positively or negatively?
No, positively. Okay. She, if she got angry, you knew, because you could see her get... It right. seemed to go red all, and then she was really angry, so you thought... Time you stopped.
Right. To behave yourself around her.
So I used to talk in class, which got me into quite a bit of trouble.
So do you think you found it boring then?
Probably. And it was boring because it was a routine. You knew every day that it was going to be religious knowledge and perhaps history and English. And then the next day a routine. And you knew every day that it was going to be the same.
Right, but too predictable for you, perhaps.
Yes, yes. Oh. I mean, PE I loved. I wished we'd had things that they have now, because I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed the sewing. We did do sewing then, which was something they don't do anymore.
No. So do you think you learned to sew there, or had your mother already taught you how to sew?
I think perhaps, yeah, we learned at home to do basic things, but yeah, I learned to make. I made little girls' dress and knicker set and little things, different things like that. So I enjoyed that.
So going back to where you lived when you were at that time,
yeah,
you said that building or that house was called King. It was just called Kingsbury Yard.
Well, there were three cottages down there, right? You see. And we lived in the middle one.
Right. So that building we see now, you lived in the middle section of it.
Yeah.
Right.
The one that you see from the road that runs that way has been added on.
Right.
The houses that we lived in ran down the yard.
Right. Are they still there?
They're still there. Right.
But we can't see them from the road.
Well, no. You see the top one.
Right.
Because it's got those windows.
Yes, yes.
Then we were next door to that one,
right.
And the bottom one. I think part of the bottom one now is like storage or something.
Right. And what else was in that area then? Was it all to do with the factories?
Yeah,
right.
Yes, there was a boiler house because then they used power from the boiler. It was stoked by coal.
Right, yes.
And then where that runs down the hill, there you could go up round, and there was two cottages up the top, and one of the ladies that lived there ran the canteen.
Right.
At 10 o'clock, the buzzer did go, and the men did all go up for their cup of tea. And
so what was it like living so close to the factory then? Was it noisy? Was it smelly? Was it dirty?
It was smelly.
Right.
Yeah, definitely smelly.
And not a pleasant smell.
No, it was smelly.
Right.
But we survived.
And again, you probably just got used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where the other part, as you go around the corner, factory corner, that part belonged to Enzers.
Ah.
And
right.
Then they did dressing of the wool. They used to have the wet skins. And on the bottom, they made glue. There was the glue, what they called the glue yard.
Yes.
So that was quite smelly.
I bet.
Because my dad, in later years, worked there.
Right.
Yeah.
So I imagine. And I mean,
I can remember the first when the factory burnt first, the first one.
Yes.
Which we were quite young then. I think I was about 8.
Right.
I got a feeling it was 1947.
Something like that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And because we lived so close, because there were just the river, we called it a river, but you know,
yes.
It ran the bottom of our garden.
Yes.
And the building that was on fire was directly across the river from us.
Yeah.
So, and then we had fire brigade in Millbourne Port.
Yes.
And so the firemen we knew, in fact, one of my brother-in-laws was a fireman, and it sticks in my mind what did my brothers, because of how close the house was, mm-hmm. and it was all, I suppose, things they used in the skins and that. Mm. We were made to be got up and dressed, so that if anything happened,
yes.
we were...
You could quickly go.
Yes.
Because that was quite risky, wasn't it?
Yes.
The fire was so close
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, and of course they didn't have the equipment that they got now.
Do you remember feeling scared or more sort of excited?
No,
or?
But I think it did leave an impression you're not conscious of.
No,
but
sure.
I'm very cautious about fire.
Ah, right.
Yeah, because we've had a chip. Not now, obviously. We've got a gas fire, but when the boys were little, we did have the chimney on fire a couple of times, which...
That
was not nice.
Yeah, sure.
and my brother, my youngest brother that died 11 years ago, he was exactly the same. Mm. It
particularly conscious of fire safety.
Of fire, yeah. And I'm sure without you realising what happens when you're young does stay there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
So you went to school... You tolerated school until you were allowed to leave.
Yeah. I remember people saying, "You'll wish you were back."
Did you?
No. No. So, I think now sometimes it'd be quite nice to go back just to see, you know, to see how different it is. But no, I never ever wanted to.
So what was your
back.
First job?
I went to the factory.
Right. And it was Ensor's you went to.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And what was your job? What was the first thing that you did?
I learnt to do peaky making.
Explain that to me.
Peaky making was ladies' gloves.
Right.
And you did it on a piece that stood up like that.
Right.
And the needle and that was there.
Yes.
And you just had to stitch
around the fingers of the gloves. Right.
Yeah.
So was it very fine, careful work? Then?
Yes, because you could end up with the fingers all crooked.
And did that happen to you when you first started
when
doing it?
When I started,
it?
Yes.
Well, they must have expected you to.
Oh, yeah. And Mrs. Pittman, that lived in Station Road, taught me. She was lovely. And she knew that I can do things, but I don't like being watched.
Right.
I can't care. And I told her so. I said, if you tell me what to do and don't watch me,
no, sure,
I'll
I understand that. Yes.
But and she were obviously she did watch me, but I wasn't aware of it.
She was subtle.
Brilliant.
Right.
Yes. And so I got quite good at making peaky gloves. So, and when the boys were little, I did have a machine at home and do it for a while because we needed the extra money.
Right. So, if you're prepared to tell me about how you met your husband, I'd be really fascinated to know.
Well, it was in the village, and there used to be a fish and chip shop where, I'm not sure what the person's name is, there's a bungalow as you come down from Church School.
Right.
On the left-hand side, there's a bungalow.
Right.
And that was a wooden hut that was a fish and chip shop.
Right.
Lovely fish and chips.
Right.
And we were all teenagers, and the boys and girls, we used to all meet up out there.
Yes.
And my husband was motorbike mad, and of course he was older than me, and he had a motorbike, and I think he used to go round all the villages to find what girls were around.
The girls,
oh, yeah, he liked chatting to the girls, definitely. Because we always pulled this leg about.
So when you first met him, obviously you knew pretty quickly that he was German.
Yeah, everyone knew. Everyone knew Herbie in
Melbourne. Right, so you knew of him anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and what was the general attitude to him as someone who had been a prisoner
he was, yeah, no bun. He was quite accepting.
Right.
Yeah. P- possibly there was a few odd people that I weren't aware of that.
Right.
And
you say he worked on a farm?
He worked on, yeah.
Right.
That was one of the stipulations when they came out of a prisoner of war camp.
Right.
They had to go on the land.
Right.
I suppose unless they had a trade or something.
Sure.
I think that may have been different. But
had he been a prisoner of war in this area, or had
He came. Yes, he was. He was stationed at what is now Guy's Marsh.
Oh yes, yes.
That's where he was, near Shaftesbury.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he worked on this farm out at Pulham.
Right.
And then he stayed there for years because. He was there with the old Mr. Mitchell, strangely enough. And then he worked for Mr. Mitchell's son afterwards. So he worked there for a long time.
So in 1945, at the end of the war, he didn't. Would he have been allowed to go back to Germany if he wanted to?
They were in 1948.
Right.
Because the government sent them back under some government scheme.
Sure.
So. If he'd wanted to stay then, he could have stayed.
So tell me about what happened when he did go back then, because you said earlier he had...
Well, he said that his family had nothing.
Oh.
He'd been working here, and he went home with a suitcase with clothes in.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And he told me that he came back with an empty case, because his family had nothing. His brothers and...
So they were really struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, he said his mum begged him to stay, but he said no, he came back.
He felt his future was back here in England.
Yeah, yeah.
That must have been a really hard time.
Yeah,
and then did he ever go back to Germany after
that?
Yeah,
he went back with a sister. He had a sister that married an English soldier and came over, and they lived in Huntingdon.
Right.
And she and him went back.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ever go?
No, I didn't. It was very difficult because I met most of his family. I met his dad. I didn't his mum, because by the time I met his dad, his mum had died.
Right.
And I met three of his sisters. I didn't meet his brother, but he was older. He was the eldest, so he never travelled. But his dad came to England, and his sisters.
Right.
Came to England, and we went to Huntingdon
right.
and met them
right.
and took, how many of the boys? Four of the boys, I think. Yeah. Leslie was a baby, my sister had him, he was only a few months old, but the other four we took. And it was quite nice, but there was a barrier because they didn't speak English.
Right.
And I didn't speak German, and my husband never spoke. He spoke broken English.
Right.
I think mingled in with his English were some German words.
Yes.
Because his sister that was in Huntingdon, she learned her English.
Right.
When she came over.
Sure, like had proper lessons. And yes.
She learned. She could write English and write and speak English and vice versa. But my husband never did that. He went on the farm. And his working life was quite, well, isolated. Mm. He was working on his own in the fields and things. So he just picked his English up, which wasn't... My eldest sister could never understand him, but I used to have to translate for him.
You obviously got used to it.
I found it quite easy.
And your sons, did they speak any German?
The youngest one started to learn German, and then he gave it up, which was a shame.
Right.
But no, they didn't. Because dad didn't speak German, so...
Yeah, sure.
It didn't happen.
Were there any elements of German culture that your husband wanted to sort of continue with, or was he quite happy just to put it behind
him? He was quite happy. He was here. Mm. He was happy. No, he didn't.
So he was really committed, obviously, to his life in England. Yeah.
We didn't hear a great deal about the war or the camps that he were in or anything.
He didn't talk about that.
No,
he didn't talk about it. I think that's quite typical, isn't it, of people that have been involved in the war. They don't necessarily like to talk about it.
I mean, there are some photos here of where they did plays and things in these camps, and we're all dressed up. And
yes.
Obviously, we're all males, but you know, they were dressed up. So, yeah, I think it was, they didn't have too bad a time. He never ever did say that, you know, it was not nice.
Mm. And no regrets, obviously, about his decision to stay here.
And no, I don't
marry
think
you
so.
And have
no.
six sons.
No, I don't think so. No, I think he was quite content. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, he's quite happy.
It's a very interesting story.
Yeah, he was quite happy.
So you married when you were 17, which is a slip of a girl. And your parents' attitude to you getting married at that age?
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You said your dad was a little bit funny about it at first.
Yeah, there was never no words. No, he never had a go at her or anything like that. But there was just that. You know, you could tell it wasn't what he would have chosen for me.
Right.
But it, as the time went on and we had the children, it was fine.
Yes, good.
Yeah.
And did he continue working on the farm?
He had a couple of other jobs. He went on the buildings because the farm closed down.
Which farm had he worked on then?
He'd worked on, do you know where Halsey Arms is in Pullum?
No,
he wouldn't. He worked in a farm at Pullum.
Right.
And then they sold up to some man that strange situation. But and so then he went on the buildings and he finished his working time in working in Hunts. The dairy in there.
Yes,
right. Yeah.
Oh. So six sons, that's a very busy life. And lots of grandchildren, I would imagine.
12 grandchildren.
12 grandchildren.
Yeah.
That must keep you very busy. And you said that lots of your family do still live in this area.
Oh, yeah, most of them live here. Yeah. My youngest son left and went to Yeovil. And Leslie, the one that's been ill, he went to Sherborne. But his marriage broke up and he came back home after 10 years.
Right.
And Nigel came back to Melbourne.
Right.
So
you live here with...
I live with Leslie and Graham.
Right.
Yeah. What's Graham? Graham's the third.
Right.
And Leslie's the fifth.
So you have to do some counting.
To see Richard Michael Graham.
And who's the gardener?
Leslie.
Right.
My husband always did it. And then when Herb died...
Right.
We found him in the. We were popped to Chawton Hawthorne. We left him fine, sitting in the chair. And we went to Chawton to my brother's grave on his birthday, which was the 2nd of August.
Oh,
and when we came back, my husband was face down in the garden. And he was already gone. And we'd only gone from here. To Chawton Hawthorne, to the churchyard, done the flowers, and came straight back.
And had he been unwell, or was it a complete shock?
No, he was, I wouldn't say he enjoyed the greatest of health, but he was fine. He'd been out and watered the greenhouses. When we come back, he still had the watering can in his hand, but he was already gone. Mm. That was not nice.
No, of course not.
So
what's changed most about this village? And I've only lived here for 2 years, so of course I have nothing to compare it with. But I'm sure you've got some thoughts about how.
Well, for one thing, we used to have loads of shops here, which we no longer have. And there was a sweet shop at Newtown. There's one in where Mary Clothier lives. The old man kept that sweet shop.
Yes.
There were a vegetable shop in the same street. There were all along the high pavement.
Yeah.
There was ironmongers, hairdressers,
people
butchers.
So they didn't have to go anywhere else because everything you wanted was here.
No, there were two butchers. Because when the war, after the war, we all had, when we were home then, obviously, you had a ration book.
Mm, yes.
And... there were two butchers, and of course we were a big family, so Mum put some of her ration, because you left them for your meat, at the butchers.
Yes.
And so she had some in one butcher and some in the other. So she, if there was something going in, she, you know, she had a chance to get something.
She was probably pretty good at managing that sort of thing, wasn't she? Your mother with seven children.
With seven children, you have to, don't
you? Yes, absolutely.
Got no choice.
Yeah.
Or getting to death. That did never happen.
And so far fewer cars, obviously. So it felt probably quieter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and safer, perhaps.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Do you remember, I live in Lower Kingsbury, where the river is under the bridge.
Yeah.
Do you remember that flooding?
Yes. I've seen water, you know the two cottages that you walk up to when you come up Court Lane?
Yes. Oh, yes.
When we were kids, seen water up that far.
That far up?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yeah.
And the river where we lived, when we were in Kingsbury Yard, it used to come up our garden.
Wow. Because Richard Duckworth says he remembers the cows swimming through the river to get to the dairy house.
Yeah,
but I've never imagined it would have gone that far up Court Lane.
Yeah, oh yes, I remember seeing it up to those cottages.
Wow.
Yeah, and at Knapp, I was friendly with a girl that you know where Knapp is,
yes.
Where the Triumph is.
Yes.
Those old cottages there.
Yes.
I was friendly with a girl that lived in the first one, and I've gone in her house and. In her living room, the water was good foot.
Wow.
You walked through that and went on upstairs because there were no water up there.
People just were used to it again and expected it maybe at certain times of the year.
Yeah, I suppose. Mm. And of course the factory, they had what we called hatches. They held the water back at the bottom of our garden.
Yes.
Because they used the water for the skins. Because they used to have the raw sheepskins.
Yes. I was reading something that Richard Duckworth had written, actually, to say that it didn't help the flooding situation when
they held the river
they held
back.
That, yes.
That's right.
Because they wanted to manage the water.
They needed the water to do the skins, yes, you say. Yeah. And that and the house across the river, that the little one that's... as you go over the bridge to go on up the hill.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that used to flood.
The one that... is that one called Greystones? Do you mean with the thatched roof?
No.
The one on the other side?
The other side,
Plum Tree Cottage,
maybe.
Possibly.
I'm not really sure. I don't take
notice.
I
think it's called Plum Tree Cottage.
Yeah.
Yes,
and the one that's actually on the slope of the hill next to that little cottage. I mean, I saw that built, like... Don't ask me what year, because I can't remember.
More recent house, isn't it? Mm.
Yeah.
So lots of shops,
and
people not really having to even go into Sherborne
often
then.
And of course you went out and you met people and everyone knew everyone.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
And looked out for each other.
Yeah. I can remember my mum telling me, you know, that when she obviously had all of us at home, like people did in those days. And, you know, if my mum was having a baby, her neighbour came in and helped, and vice versa, you know.
And did you know your grandparents? Did you know Olive's parents?
No, I knew my mum's mum, but that was all.
And was she from, she in Millbourne Port?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was very young. I have sort of vague memories of my gran.
What year
Whereas
was your mother
now,
born?
Pardon?
What year was your mother born?
In 1900.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's an easy date to remember.
Yeah, 1900. May the 6th.
So when she had you, she would have been considered an older mother, wouldn't she?
Well, probably, Yes, but I would... Yes, because she'd already had five children, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, lots of shops, quieter, fewer cars, more of a sense of community, perhaps.
Well, yes, I mean, when we were at the factory, and you didn't really see car when we were lived near the factory, other than Mr. Dyke coming in his car, and, you know.
Was that quite an occasion then?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Dyke turned up?
Yeah.
And is there anything that you think is better about life in Millbourne Port now compared to...
I've never really thought about it.
There must be pros and cons, I suppose.
I suppose, yeah. I've never really even thought about something like that.
This is what this is all about, you see.
You just go on and
yes.
with life. And
have you ever felt that you'd like to go and live somewhere else? Or
no.
Have you just always been very content here?
I'm quite happy in Millenpoor. And so my family, they all come back,
yes.
that left.
Yes.
They all came back.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm quite... No, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. Not now. Especially now.
And have you had holidays where you've gone somewhere else and gone abroad or...?
No.
Right.
No.
So you're really just happy being...
Yeah.
And I understand that you are the lollipop lady.
Yes.
And have been for a long time.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. How did that job come about?
I saw it advertised and the children got older and... Oh, well, I could do that. So I applied and went for an interview. And in fact, the governor that was there at my interview is still a governor down at our school.
Really?
Yeah, he was a Millenpoor person. He's retired now, I think, but he ended up headmaster at Sexy School.
Oh, yes.
One of the, yeah.
So how long ago was this then? How long have you had this job for?
I started in October 1991.
Right.
So I've done 27 years.
And are you still
almost doing... 28
still
years.
It?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Planning to go back in September?
Yes, definitely.
And what do you like about it?
Seeing the children, seeing the people, everyone that comes by, even if it's only good morning. Mm. They speak.
Yes.
Well, you get odd ones that don't, but that's life.
You must have seen so many children going through the school.
Yes, because I've got children coming back with children.
Yes.
That I saw cross the road.
Yes.
I've seen all my grandchildren cross the road.
Yes.
And now I've got one great-granddaughter going and the second one starting in September.
Wow. So you've really seen that sort of continuity of, of life,
haven't
you?
Yeah, it's lovely.
They must love you, though. You must be such an established part of the school.
Enjoy that. It's
so twice a day.
Yeah.
Every day during school term.
Yeah. Fine weather, I cycle.
Yeah.
So yeah, really do. It's nice. Okay. I don't want to be. I mean, the boys are here. They go to work. I don't want to be just here all day. Because I'm not a sit about person. If it's a hero day, I love
to six sons.
I would be looking for something to do. So
yes,
I do.
So how long are you going to keep doing this job for?
As long as I feel I am able and capable,
right?
Which you've got to be.
120, perhaps something.
I keep thinking when I've done my 25 years. You know, they said, "Will you do?"
Another 25.
No, it didn't go quite that far. Where you do the another five, because you get a badge and a certificate every 5 years.
I should think so too.
So I said, well, I think we'll take it a year at the time. So I've nearly done three to that.
Sure.
So now in my head, I think, will I make 30? Which, if I'm lucky and I keep fit. Mm.
Yes.
Yes, I will.
Wonderful.
I can remember the Nishin huts up in, you know where Limerick Close is?
Yes, yes.
There was all Nishin huts there,
yes.
The troops were in. I can remember one of my older sisters taking me and my brother round and seeing the tanks.
Right.
And the Americans used to be at Crendlecore.
Yes.
And they used to come into the factory because there was the boiler which they stoked, and so there were ashes, and they used to come in trucks and pick the ashes up if it was wet weather to put on the drives at Crendlecore.
Oh, right, right.
They used to come in and they'd come over if we were in the, my mama had a board because of the yard and traffic.
Yes.
It wasn't safe for us at that stage anyway to go out there. And there were no gates then. My dad had made a batten stain
right.
both sides
yes.
and made a board that they slid in
right.
to keep us in, me and my brother.
Yes.
And the Americans would come over and ask if we liked candy.
And you said yes.
Yes, because we didn't get many sweets then.
No.
So, I can remember that. And then, like I say, I can remember them tanks. I can clearly remember seeing tanks.
I think I've seen some photographs of tanks coming up Manor Road, have I?
I'm not sure about that.
So on D-Day then, you remember?
On D-Day, I can remember clearly I had a navy blue dress with white buttons with D's on. I can still see that dress.
Oh, how lovely.
And I had a dolly's pram with a dolly. One of my older sisters had bought it a red, white and blue outfit. I was really proud of that, right. Dolly.
I bet you were.
And Cold Harbour, where the co-op is,
yes,
it was packed with people.
Yes.
Yeah, that was...
Must be a lovely occasion.
Really great day, that one.
So, yes, if you have a... we'll pause it again.
There was an old lady who lived in
Paddock Walk,
yes,
the steps, Mrs. Lambert, her name.
Yes.
And she was a dear old lady. And some days you'd come along and think, oh dear, is she going to be there? Because she'd be stood at the top of the steps with her wicker shopping, you know how they have.
Yes.
And a list. Would I pop up to the shop for her? Well, you always did. Oh yes, Mrs. Lambert. You know, but some days you think, I hope she's not there today.
Oh. And what shop did she mean?
She came up... you know the White House down at the bottom of Southview?
Yes, roughly, yes.
It's called Orchard Dean now.
Right, right.
There was two old sisters lived there, Miss Stockwell's, and they kept a shop. And
right.
You went in the main entrance, and they had a bell that was on like the old lavatory chair.
Oh, yes, I know.
Rung that,
yeah.
And they'd come, but sometimes it took a long time because... they quarrelled like cat and dog, these two sisters.
The Stockwell
Truly,
sisters.
They did. And you'd hear them in there shouting. And then one was a school teacher, and she used, I think it was Yetminster, no, not Yetminster, along the main dual carriageway, remember the place, no, small place.
Bradford Abbas?
No, on the right hand side.
Oh, right. Nether Compton Trent, somewhere like that.
There.
Right.
Yeah. And she taught there, and she used to cycle.
Wow.
And the other one, the other sister, kept the shop. And you'd go in there, and the cat would be sat on the counter. And
was it just like a sort of grocer's, like a grocer's shop?
Yeah. She used to have a binder thing, just a slice of bacon.
Do you mean that house that, sort of like 1930s sort of architecture? And it's white, it's all white.
Well, you can see it from my window when you look, get up.
I think I know which one you mean. Mm. That was a shop.
That was a shop.
What was it called? Yeah. Stockwell's.
Yeah, Stockwell's.
Was it?
Yeah. I think previous to that, they had, when their dad was alive, they had a shop up in Rosemary Street.
Right.
And then they moved there. I can't remember the Rosemary Street one. But, it was a funny video. We often have a laugh about it. Cat was sat on the counter, and the thing that you cut the bacon was right next to the cat.
Okay.
And the
slice
cheese,
of cat.
Yeah, and the cheese was on the board, which you cut with a
knife. Oh, yeah, I remember going into shops like that.
And if it were a bit mouldy, she just cut the mould off. And often we say now, when everything is all pre-packed clean,
yes.
Which is, I think, too clean at times.
No bacteria to... toughen you up a bit.
Yeah, get a bit of immunity.
How funny.
Yeah.
The stock. Oh dear, the arguing, the shouting Stockwells.
Yeah. I was. Yeah.
I can stop him.